I'm. We'll continue trying to meet everybody new. I wasn't able to be there today, but we'll try to do that on, again, Monday and Tuesday. We'll try to make a lot of time for that next week, and so we can catch up on that. Sunday I'll be, I won't have to have too much time for sure because I've done something before, but hopefully Monday and Tuesday we'll be able to be caught up with that. Okay, so let's finish up the couple of things that we have left to do, and I want to start into Pilegesh and Kadesh and do a quick job on that, and then we'll just start probably Sunday or Monday. I'll give you a Marmakot Masorti for the first, for Beis Amid Aleph, Beis Amid Beis. So we can start with that. Okay. So just a few points quickly, and then I want to touch two related issues. We were discussing, I think the last thing we were discussing was the status of Piri Varivia as it relates to Ishus, and I was trying to suggest that while the Rush thinks everything is about Piri Varivia and everything is adjunct to it, while many Rishonim certainly are of the opinion, and there's a lot of evidence that there are two completely different dinim. One is Kiddushin, Nesuin, whatever it is, and the other is Piri Varivia. Certainly that is a very prominent view, and in that sense the two are independent. Again, there still, of course, is an issue. I mean, you'd always want to do Piri Varivia in the context of Ishus, especially if you violate an Isur, an Isur Aseh, whatever it is, to pursue Piri Varivia outside of Ishus is also to expose yourself to Isurim. So we're not talking about that. That's obvious. So then, of course, it's preferable, to do Piri Varivia in the context of Ishus, maybe even necessary. What I'm talking about is something a little more than that, and that is the subtle overlap of these themes. And that is that it's not a coincidence that there is such a problem or an Isur, and that what I'm suggesting is that it's a more ideal kiyum of Ishus, for it to be connected with the potential of Piri Varivia, and vice versa, that the Piri Varivia, which takes place in the context of Ishus, is a different Piri Varivia, and maybe even the difference between a kiyum as opposed to neutralizing the chiyuv, as we discussed. And that, I think, we saw a lot of evidence for in some of the Lashonos, the Shultos, the Bach, and others, but particularly, I think, that this is Shitas HaRambam in a very consistent way. So I mentioned the language of the Rambam in Shmona Prakim that some Rishonim also picked up on. I think I mentioned the Ritva and others. So I just wanted to get to the exact language. So it is in, I'm quoting from the Kapach, but in the in Shmona Prakim, in the eighth Perek, the last of the Prakim, so the Rambam is discussing the problem of free will, which of course is a very important principle and one which the Rambam himself addresses numerous times in Yad HaChazaka and in Mar Nevuchim and in Pirshim Mishnayos and Avos. So one of the places that he addresses it also is in Shmona Prakim. So he talks about the language of Chazal, Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyira Shemayim. It says, Aval Aloshin Shematzanu L'Chakamim Hu Amara Makol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyira Shemayim Hu Nachon V'Hu Amur Al Derech Shebiyarn. I mean, some people quote that language, Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyira Shemayim, and he thinks improperly, Ela Shehar Beit Toin Bo Bnei Adam V'Choshvim Al Miktsas Pe'ulos Ha'adam Asher Hu Bechiri Bahem Shehu Muchrach Aleim, that some people think that what that means is that while people may feel that they have free will, right, that they act volitionally, right, in fact Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyir Shemayim, meaning their perspective on life, their value system might be their choice, but right, things that happen to them, even actions that they take, are really preordained or compulsory, predetermined, whatever you want to say. That's how people, and they connect that to this Maimer Chazal, Hakol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Miyir Shemayim. He says, V'zeh Eino Nachon. Oh, he gives an example. Sorry. Kagon Lisa Plonis, which in light of the Sugya Moed Katan, which we're going to talk a little bit more today anyway, of course is very, interesting. Like, is it your choice to marry, all the people who have Agmas Nefesh and the, and their Shiduchim, Shtadlus? So they would want to know, do they need to have Agmas Nefesh? Or is the Agmas Nefesh part of the, maybe that's part of the, predetermined, perspective too. But this is an important issue. So the Rambam says, no, it's the Agmas Nefesh is okay, because it's really not a case of predetermined behavior. Oshehe mamon azebiado, either begezel or not begezel, different yourselves. So the Rambam says, v'ze eino nachon. And that's where he has this terrific line, lefi shahaisha hazu im lakacha biksuva v'kiddushin. And once again, from the Koteret, we know from Sefer Mitzvos, we know from Mor Nevuchim, we know now from Shemona Prakim, he does it also earlier. The Rambam always sticks ksuva v'kiddushin together, which fits in perfectly with what we discussed about ksuva. Lefi shahaisha hazu im lakacha biksuva v'kiddushin Bihimu Tereslo bin Unisa'a Lapiria Varivya Harezu Mitzvah. So that's one big sentence to swallow, right? He makes it sound as if Nisuin, Biksuva, Bikidushin, right? And for the sake of Piria Varivya is a single mitzvah, which of course we know it's not. But the point is that these are integrated mitzvahs. The Ein Hashem Gozer Alasias Mitzvah. Right, v'im haya nisueha b'rasha hare zu avera, v'ein Hashem gozer alo avera. Then he goes on to explain that hakol bidei shemayim chutz mi'ira shemayim refers ena kavana b'kach al ala hadvarim hativim asher ein la'adam b'chira b'hem kagon heyoso aroch o katzar yuridas geshem o batzoret, right, akiros ha'avir o zakuso. I don't know if that's a pollution or global warming, but whatever it is, meaning things that you have no control over, like personal natural phenomena or world natural phenomena. That, about that we say, Hakol bidei shemayim chutz mi'ira shemayim. But according to the Rambam, your conduct, your decisions, your behavior is in your own hands. But it's just a great little formulation. It sounds like if you'd read this Rambam, you'd think it's all one integrated mitzvah. Similarly, earlier in Shmona Prakim, in Perek HaRevi'i, the Rambam is talking about balance. That's one of the points of Shmona Prakim, and especially the fourth Perek, which is the midway point, by the way, in Shmona Prakim. So he talks about, the need for, kind of a golden mean, to use Mori's expression in Mishnah Torah. V'achzor l'inyani im yomar ilu b'nei umasenu asher nitamel amim. Right, and so on. He talks about not being overly ascetic and not being overly hedonistic. Right, she'enamosim ba'she'mosim mi'inuye gufoseim u'bitol tanu goseim el al derech ha'achshara l'kochos ha'guf k'dei she'yu notim klape ha'tzad ha'echad ma'at al derech she'bi'arnu b'perek zeh she'roi she'adam kach harezo tos mitzidam k'moshin avar. It's people overdoing on either side. V'hu shahatora lo asra masha asra v'tzivsa macha tzivsa ki'im misibazu klomar k'dei sh'nisrachek minatzad ho'echad yoter al derech ha'achshara ki'isur kol ha'macholos ho'asuros v'isur habios ho'asuros v'ha'azhara ala k'deisha v'chiv k'suva v'kidushin. This is another one. V'im kol ze enu muteris tamid ala asura b'zmane hanida v'haleida. These are all the examples that he's talking about in terms of balance. But once again, it's just interesting how it comes trippingly off his, his pen or his quill, that this idea of, Kiddushin Viksuva, and especially the idea that Kiddushin Viksuva is a way itself of keeping the proper balance, between the physical side of marriage, right, and the Kiddusha aspect of it. So all of this works very, very, very well, with the issues that we have been talking about. And then we expanded a little bit to note that there is a lot of evidence in general that, whether it's the Sheva Brachos or the role of Nisuin or Bia Rishona, that these are all ways of integrating Piria Verivya into the Ishus, either for the sake of Piria Verivya or Ishus or both. I prefer both. And then Isaac also reminded me that two things about one of the language of the Mordechai, which I had you look at in terms of the Nusach HaBracha and so on. So when he talks about Birchas Eiros and Birchas Nisuin being distinctive, so he does say Ubishas Nisuin Nami Ein Mevarchin Deshema Hava Bracha Levatala Deshema Lo Yizaku Lihi Banos Yachad. So this again is another reference to that, in addition to the ones that we mentioned. And the other one, which I wanted you to look at, and I'm just going to read the one line of it now, but I want to read it more after we finish talking about Kadesha, because I want to read both of them, is the language of the Sefer Habatim, here on quoted in the Kamai, on page 9, where he also expands on these issues. V'inan mitzvah zumu vueres v'kavanas abrius shabar Hashem ha'adam zachar lekeva ki bazei yiktakin sidur habayis gam b'pnei shiyeh alav tshukasa v'hu yimsholba v'im zeyeh zaram nachon. So again, part of the formulation of the components and the nature of how you accomplish kiddushin / nisu, and this is Sefer Habatim essentially expanding or interpreting the Rambam. It starts with Hamitzvah Reish Tasvav LeRambam Tatzivu Shitzivanu. Interesting language. Lekayim Hanesuin, right? Beseis Davar Biado Isho Bishtaru Bibia Bezui Mitzvahs Kiddushin. The mitzvah of Kiddushin, the Maisa Mitzvah, the actual mitzvah is Kiddushin, as we know in the Rambam. But the goal of it is Lekayim Hanesuin, which is perfect. That's exactly what we've been saying, right? It's not Erison for its own sake. That's why the Tashbetz is correct, even though, not for the way that he says it. He's trying to suggest, I disagree with the Rambam. I think that Erison is L'shem Nisuin, and it's all one continuum. But I think he's right, that if a person were to be Ma'ares, Shalol L'shem Lisa, that even the Rambam, who thinks it's an Osir, would say that that's not the point, because it's still, in the end of the day, for the purpose of the Nisuin. It's Lekayim HaNisuin. Anyway, so one of the things that he emphasizes is all the benefits of this procedure and these details. And part of it is V'im Zeyia Zaram Nachon. It's the family part as well. Ba'inyan Kinyan Ha'isha Kedei She'ira Kinyan Chazak Kishara Kinyanim, we were saying also, V'hu B'kesef U'bishtar, right? Amnam inyan abia zamavur shu kinyan hagamur b'zeha inyan, but it's also the most problematic, and so on. And we'll talk, I'm going to read the rest of it a little bit later on, because the Kadesha part is very, very critical here. And then when he talks about Sheva Brachos and so on, again, he tries to bring all these things together. And I'm going to leave the other Lashonos out just for now, because I want to bring it afterwards, and also his language of Kadesha. But once again, sticking in the family, the Hoyle Basar Echad part, the Piri Baribia part, is very, very significant. So let me just also mention something else in that regard. Again, it's all connected. But we mentioned that Rav Mangid Amanda Makadish Bibiya, we'll speak more about it. That's a Gemara later on in Daf Yud Beis, Omud Beis. And that, it becomes more significant for us, right, based on how we're interpreting. Right. Some people interpret that Rav Mangan Amad Makadish Bibiya because, there are tznius issues of a more technical type, like the Eide Kiyum, Hein Eide Yichud, Hein Eide Bia. Right? So that's, for example, one view in the Balei Tosfos, that that's the issue of the problem. Of course, what we're suggesting is that, Kiddushei Bia is like the, it's where all this, comes together, because it's Mefurish Bakra. It might be the best because it's Ishus, but it's Kinyan and Ishus. That's why the Gemara discusses, whether or not Nisuin possibly Oset, that could either be good or bad. The idea that there could be Kiddushei Bia and then an Isur afterwards, is jarring, but maybe jarring in a way that highlights all of this, right? And that might be Shitas HaRambam, very well might be Shitas HaRambam. Again, maybe there's no Birchas Eirusin in Kiddushei Bia Dafka, and maybe it isn't just for technical reasons also, and other Chilukim. But you know, then when Rav came along and he said Manger Amanda Bekadish Bebia, so you know, like he's starting up with the Daraisa. But the whole point is that if you didn't do it for extraneous technical reasons, but he did it because he was saying this is like the most aspirational, but if you can't pull it off perfectly, so then you know you've just not only not done this in the most dramatic fashion, but you completely missed the boat. And therefore, it's, you know, it's a disaster. It goes from being the best to being... It's either the best or a disaster, if that's the pshat. So it's just very, very interesting that the... and again, you know, the second view in Tosis on Yud Beis Yud Beis, Gemara calls it pritzusa, is that it means that it's not tsanua. But what I'm saying, obviously, is it's even more dramatic than that. But what's particularly interesting is that the Gemara... we've talked about this. I just want to emphasize it a little bit more. When it talks about Rav Manged Aman Mekadosh Bebia, so it has other issues too. The Gemara says the Kula Malamanged Rav Elal the Mekadosh Bebia, right? But earlier the Gemara says the report is Rav Manged Aman Mekadosh Beshuka VaAlda Mekadosh Bebia VaAlda Mekadosh Belo Shiduche. Then it says VaAlda Mevatel Gita, v'al demasar moda'a gita, v'al demitzar shlucha derabanan, v'al dechala shamta ilave kalasin yomin, etc. V'al chasana dedayer be'chamua. Okay, basically, the problem is once you have a longer list, you know, it you might be diluting, you know, parts of the list. So he had a list of, you know, a laundry list of things that he was mangit about. Doesn't necessarily mean that there are, I mean, some of them clearly, you know, are of a totally different nature. So if you want to, you know, if you want Rav's Mangid list, you know, here it is. But what's interesting about it is that then the Gemara goes on to say that no, Bekula lo Mangid Rav elal de Mekadosh Bebia below Shiduche. V'ikadamri v'afilu bishiduche nami mishum pritzusa. Okay, so the Gemara seems to connect Beli Shiduche and Rav Mangid Mekadosh Bebia. Right, so that kind of narrows the list a little bit and seems to connect them possibly together. The Gemara uses the expression Bishum Pritzusa only with regard to Kiddushe Bia of all these, either Kiddushe Bia or Kiddushe Bia below Shiduche. Okay, so what's interesting about all of this is that number one, the Rambam does quote these other mangids, but in Hilchos Ishus, this is a Rambam that we've seen already. Halacha, what is it, Chabbeis, Perakim of Halacha Chabbeis, the Rambam says, V'chein, right, he talks about Rav Manged Amad Mekadosh Bebia Halacha Chafalev, Aval Ein Mekadosh Bebia Lechatchila, V'im Kidesh Makanos HaMakas Mardus, Kidesh Shelo Yisrael Prutzim, which is the language Pritzus of the Gemara, B'davar Zeh, Afan Pishe Kiddush of Kiddushin Gemurin. Okay, not everybody agrees with that, but okay. And then in Halacha Chabes, he has V'chein HaMekadosh Belo Shiduch O HaMekadosh B'shuk. Right? Af al pishe kiddushin gemurin makinos makas mardos. Right? So he... And then the Nosa came to God. Well, he doesn't quote all the other ones, or he quotes them in other places. How come he's only quoting these two? But the Ram does better than that. Then he adds, K'dei shelo yehe davar zeh hergel liznuas. Right, and he adds v'yidame l'kdesha shahoisa koda matan Torah. So in a Gemara, pritzusa only appears in either kiddushe bia or kiddushe bia beli shiduchin. It certainly doesn't appear by below shiduche alone, and it doesn't appear in b'shuka. So the hergel znus in the Rambam is an addition. Moreover, the v'yidame l'kdesha shahoisa koda matan Torah is certainly an addition. And, of course, that brings us, you know, to what's going to be our next topic as soon as we finish up these other two points, and that is the relationship between Kedesha and Pilegesh on the negative side and the positive mitzvah of Kiddusha. So the Rambam, once again, is telling you that Beli Shiduchim and Beshuk, never mind Kiddushe Bia, is like, you know, it's like negating or neutralizing Koda Matan Torah, right, and going back to Kadesha Koda Matan Torah. Those are fighting words. I mean, those are strong words. And the question is, you know, what about Mekadesh B'Shuk and Beli Shiduche, you know, really reflect that? But in light of how we've interpreted the Rambam, this is totally consistent. Because for the Rambam, the whole idea of the Likuchin Eilam Mitzvah Saseh and what it contributes to the Nisuin and the contrast to Pre-Matan Torah's Ishus, and especially the Heter of Kadesha or Pilegesh Pre-Matan Torah, is precisely this idea of not taking steps that will protect the Ishus, the Nisuin, as a Dovr Shebekdusha. So from that point of view, anything that, just like you were explaining, the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, seeing her in advance, right? The next halacha, by the way, is, the previous halacha to all of this was halacha yates. Mitzvah she'ikadish adam ishto be'atzmo yeser me'al yidei shulcho, and so on. And the Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha component. So it's this whole section in the Rambam, starting from halacha yates, it comes right after the father's rights and so on. It's almost like, yeah, there are things that he can do, but in building respect and protecting the Nisuin as a Davar Shebekdusha, starting from Halacha Yutes, basically, through the end of the Perek. It goes Yutes, Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, which are these Halachos, and then comes Chaf Gimel, which is Bein Ayde Atzma, Bein Ayde Shliach, and Birchas Erisin, and then the whole text of the Bracha, which I think is part of the story. This is a Birchas HaMitzvah. We don't ever have a Birchas HaMitzvah which is so complicated, so nuanced, but it's all part of the story. So Mekadesh B'li Shiduchim and a Mekadesh B'Shuka, even though in the substance there's nothing, but it certainly goes against the grain of being Mekadesh Ali De'atzmo, of making, of Yahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, being not just a Hilchus Avelus or Deos Halacha, but an Ishus Halacha, right? All of these become an extra element, just like Isha Haguna, and so on. Which also means that that Shiduchim, becomes a phase in Ishus. So, actually, Isaac wrote a very nice piece. Did you put that? Did you publish that in the Beis Yitzchak?
Not yet.
But on Shiduchim, where he tries to marshal a lot of very nice evidence about Shiduchin being like a pre-phase, I guess, of Ishus. It's based on the same idea, really, right? That anything, in other words, anything you can do, even if it isn't technically and formally halachic, but anything you can do that adds or facilitates the sense of confidence, in a way, is something which is a key in Ishus. So the Rambam's view of Mekadesh B'Shuka and below Shiduche is another example of this. Again, Sefer Batim also emphasizes below Shiduche in this context. Yeah.
Maybe the Shita is the Tshuva of the Rambam recalls Shiduche and Kiddushin.
In what application?
Just totally Derech Agav, talking about a case where someone was.
The slip of tongue. But again, when we learned Ksuvas, we noted that, for example, we'll discuss in a second, some poskim think that you start saying Shasimcha Bimono already at the time of Shiduchim. Again, that could be for other reasons. Here and there, there are indications that this is the case. Again, we don't want to overstate them either, obviously. But it's... particularly in the Rambam's formulation, right? These are important issues. So, I just want to go back to talking about two different things. One is the question of Simcha in Erisin and Nisuin, very briefly, and the other is Benoach, and that leads us into the question of Kadesha and Pilegesh. Okay. So, regarding Simcha. But this becomes very, very important, both in terms of reading the Gemara and Moed Katan, which we've already discussed. I'll just, remind you in just a second. But especially, based on what we've been discussing. Because basically what we've been discussing is that there's a group of Rishonim that think that Kiddushin is just a junior partner to Nisuin, or even if it is central or equal, or even central, or maybe even exclusive, but it's because it's Tchilas on the Suin, basically. And we're also trying to explain that according to the Rambam, right? The point is not that at all. It's the fact that you are injecting, right, this initial opposite motif, right, of legalizing, formalizing, you know, and all of that, protecting, right? And that's ultimately, of course, what contributes. But, you know, Kiddushin L'chud, Nisuin L'chud, that's why they work so well together, because they're two interlocking pieces that are opposites. So the question of simcha, how much simcha is there bizman ha'erusin, is very symptomatic of that. Now, if we find some simcha in the beginning of it, there also may be two dinim in erusin, as we've seen, certainly in Kiddushin Shniyim and in other things. There's no reason that there can't be both of these elements. I expect you to be there, so when I see you, I don't realize that. But welcome. There's no reason why both of these can't exist, obviously. And let me say, you know, even for the Rambam, obviously we're beginning a process, the goal of which is to contribute ultimately to greater Simchas Ishus and to the Kedusha of Simchas Ishus. So the idea that there could be, you know, some simcha in the Erusin, even according to that view, is not something to be shocked about or to dismiss, and so on. The proof is more in the other direction. The more we see the negation of simcha in Erusin, right, the more we are probably reinforced in our view. And again, I want to be honest here too. You know, there is no heterisha labala, so there's going to be a dilution. It's not going to be simchas nesuin. But still, the sharper the contrast, the more it will be interesting. So it's this is something to weigh in different contexts. For example, I think I mentioned already that there's an interesting discussion already in the Paigon and the Rif when it comes to Machzer Grushaso, right? You know, whether or not the Mishnah says about Machzer Grushaso, right, that it's not, doesn't have the same intense level of simcha, and that's why it's mutter, right, to do machzer grushaso b'moed. But there's an interesting debate among the gaonim. Does machzer grushaso have birchas nisuin at all? And that's a debate. And if not, so is it inconsistent that it would have birchas erusin if it doesn't have birchas nisuin? That second point seems to be a debate between Rav Haigon and the Rif. And again, the Tshuvas Agonim in the Otzar Agonim, they pick up on this. It appears in a number of different places. So that's an interesting question. And of course, again, some of the differences between Birchas Erusin and Birchas Nisuin might be attributed, if indeed this is true, to the difference between Birchas HaMitzvah and Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. That's possible. However, it's also possible that the difference between Birchas HaMitzvah and Birchas Shevach V'Hodah here is an extension of the difference between Erusin and Nisuin. Not necessarily. And either way, some of the differences just could be a difference between Erusin and Nisuin. I guess if both were Birchas Shevach V'Hodah or both were Birchas HaMitzvah, we would eliminate, you know, that, you know, part, that wild card part of the equation, and then it would be easier for us to pin down, you know, that differences were just due to the institutions that they're attached to, namely Erusin versus Nisuin. So again, I don't want to belabor the point, but it's part of the discussion that they have. You know, some people say, well, the Haraya, you know, that they're different. You know, Erusin works Benida, but not everybody thinks that Nisuin works Benida, which is a way of basically highlighting that you know, that Nisuin is about heterisha lapala and maybe simcha, and Erusin is more about the kinyan, more formal, and not so much about the simcha. So that's one interesting discussion. Another interesting discussion is about shasimcha bimono. So what's the evidence on that? I think I did ask you to look at that. Ariel? Saw it? Jonathan? Avi? On Shasimcha B'mono? B'Erusin? Is there Shasimcha B'mono in Erusin? Yeah, 2 days in the Mordechai, right? Or the Chachmi Ashkena, Mordechai, Hagos Ba'munios, that whole, I mean, the Gemara only has Shasimcha b'mono in Ksuvas in connection with Shavu Brachos, Brachos Nesuim. And the Gemara considered the possibility of Mila, the Gemara in Ksuvas, and says, no, there's no Shasimcha b'mono b'mila, right, because of Tzara Dinuka. Again, we learned Ksuvas a few years ago, he discussed this very extensively. But what about, you know, things other than Nesuin? Well, Nesuin's a perfect candidate because there's a lot of Simcha, obviously, and there's no downside. It's only a happy time, right? Mila, there's Simcha because Sasanochi Alim Rasecha Kimotzi Shalom Rav. There are elements of Simcha, but there's also Tzara Dinuka. Okay, but what about where there's not as much Simcha as in either Mila or Nesuin, but there's also no downside. There's no equivalent of Tzara Dinuka. What would you say then? So there's this question of the criterion of when do we apply, you know, Shasimcha. How much Simcha do you need for Shasimcha b'mono when there's, you know, not, you know, a chefsa shal Simcha, you know, to such an extent, but there's also no downside. What about Pidgin Aben? And what about Asiyum? Again, I think I mentioned just a second ago that some of the poskim think that already besudas shiduchim you could have Shasimcha b'monov. That's true. Certainly you can have it Beirusim. But that's already a more exotic, you know, shita. But the shita about Erisin is really two days in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that when the Gemara seems to say that you don't say Shasimcha b'mono, you know, too early, they mean b'shiduchim. But if it was really Erisin, you would say Shasimcha b'mono because there's Simcha. So that's an interesting question about Erisin, in addition to the, you know, the connection to Nida, the question of Matzah Grushaso. The question of Shasimcha b'mono is an interesting question. But of course, the most clear discussion is about Avelus, Tisha B'Av, and Moed. Avelus and Tisha B'Av is the counter pressure because of Avel and Tzar. And the Moed, of course, is the competition with, the kind of the equivalent of Ein Ma'ar. I always say kind of the equivalent because you have to read the Gemara carefully. Is it really that, or is it some special Gzeres HaKasuv? Whatever it is, something like Ein Ma'arvin, Simcha, B'Simcha. So in a way, those questions are dealt with in Sugin Moed Katan, right? And in a way that, you know, when the Gemara is wondering whether you can be Ma'aris, you know, B'moed, so just that first line, when the Gemara says, you can be Ma'aris B'moed, Shema Yekadmenu Acher. Right? So the Bepashtus, the impression that we get, you know, if I say to you, you can get married B'moed, right, and then I add Shema Yekadmenu Acher, so you walk away with the impression that there's, you know, some counter pressure, there's a reason not to get married Erisin b'moed, right? But it's overridden by the factor of Shema Yikadmenu Acher, which means that there is at least some simcha, maybe not full simcha, but some simcha. Therefore, you need a rationale, but you have a rationale, Shema Yikadmenu Acher, right? And that same rationale that's quoted in the Bavli in Moed Katan, and it's quoted in the Rishalmi in connection with Tisha B'Av. And the question is also, you know, about Avelus. Okay. But, what we were trying to show was that in the end of the Gemara says, yeah, true, right? They validate that Ma'arsin b'moed, but they don't repeat Shema Yikadmenu Acher. Now, the fact that the Gemara doesn't repeat something that it said earlier is certainly not indicative that it dropped it, per se. Right, you could say the Gemara doesn't need to repeat what it said. It's v'chule, right? So the diuk is not so much in the Gemara per se, but it is in the Rambam. And this was essentially what I was trying to argue. What does the Rambam do with the Gemara in Moed Katan, which seems to say that lo mi boi kamar, maybe nesuin there's a counter pressure, and you might have thought it was b'moed because it's a mitzvah. Masha'en kein. Erisin, where there's no mitzvah, but we know the Rambam holds that that's totally not true, and that's what misled Rabbi Avraham and Rambam right into a different pshat, which I think is not a tenable pshat. So what do we do with that Gemara? So what I was trying to say was a clever answer, you know, or a speculative answer. It might be wrong, but I believe in it. The reason I call it a clever answer is because what I'm suggesting is that, you know, no. You really need to understand the bigger conceptual issue in this Gemara. And what I'm saying is the question whether or not, you know, you could be Ma'aris B'moed isn't just it's not a side question. And it's not a question of, you know, gauging, you know, how much simcha or how much of a problem this is. This is the Gemara's, like, weighing in on the big question that we're talking about. The Gemara wants to know, can you be Ma'aris B'moed? Meaning, is Erisin about Tchilas Nisuin, in which case we emphasize Tchilas HaSimcha? Right? And that would be a good reason to say, you know what, maybe you can't be Ma'aris B'moed, unless you have some good, strong reason, because it's Tchilas Nisuin and there is Simcha. Right? So that's why you need, that's how the Gemara starts. And then the Gemara said, maybe you could, because if you don't, right, the price you're going to pay, Shemi Kadmenu Acher. Ah. So then the Gemara said, you know, let's try to bring a raya from the Mishnah Nafches, right, which says that Nisuin is excluded to Moed. Erisin is. Erisin's okay. So the Gemara said, no, let me buy Kamar. You can't say that. Why? Because right now what we're thinking about is that maybe Erisin, you know, would only be Mutter because of Shemi Kadmenu Acher, but otherwise it would be Aser because Yesh Lo Simcha. In other words, it's Tchilas Nisuin. But if you're thinking that way, then you can't bring a raya from the Mishnah and Davches, because the Mishnah and Davches, you know, is telling you Nisuin is a much worse problem of Simcha, but it's also a much bigger counter pressure because it's the mitzvah. So you have the urgency of the mitzvah, you know, against the Simcha. But Erisin, maybe there's less Simcha because it's only Tchila, but there's also less urgency, right? There's less pressure, but there's less counter pressure. So you just don't have a raya. That's all the Gemara is saying. Okay, great. So then when the Gemara said the words, however, we have another brisa that teaches us explicitly that there is Erisin B'moed, and then that other brisa doesn't say anything about Shemi Kadmenu Acher. So what I'm suggesting is that the Rambam thought that that was the turnaround. That's the turning point in the Gemara. The Gemara is saying, you thought that the reason that there was Erisin B'moed is only because of Shemi Kadmenu Acher, but the way that we look at Erisin is Tchilas Nisuin. Wrong. There's Erisin B'moed because there's no problem. There's no counter pressure. There's no problem at all because Erisin is an Oser. It's the whole mitzvah. It's not the Tafel mitzvah. Nisuin isn't the mitzvah. Kiddushin is the mitzvah. And why is it the mitzvah? Because it's the Oser. But for that very same reason, you can be Ma'aris B'moed. And guess what? There's no need to justify it with Shema Yikadbenu Acher. So that's what I was trying to say for the Rambam. That's how he reads the Gemara. And that's why, for the Rambam, the Gemara not repeating it is important. More importantly, the Rambam in Hilchos, Ishus, Yom Tov, Avel, in all three places, right, says that you can be Ma'ares, even on the day of, you know, the Misa, even on Tisha B'Av, never mind the 3 weeks, or the 9 days, right? And even on the Moed, and in all three places, he doesn't say anything about Shemi Kadmenu Acher. So my speculation is that's all perfectly considered. The Rambam doesn't need Shemi Kadmenu Acher. He just needs to tell you that Erisin is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, and it doesn't have simcha, or not any simcha to speak of in its own right. So then, that's the Rambam, and it's all lishita. It isn't a coincidental answer for the Rambam. It's all, you know, part of the global reading of the topics, of every topic. Okay. So I just want to point out that even though I believe that very strongly, some other Rishonim do not, including the Ritva. Yeah.
What about the Rambam and Tainus?
So the Rambam and Tainus, I knew that somebody was going to ask me that. Good question. There the Rambam does seem to say that Erisin is a problem. I don't think that's because of Simcha. I think that that is, and that this is a another topic, but there are things that are also prohibited on days of Avel, even without Simcha, because they constitute a certain attitude where you're progressing with your life, you're building, and you know, you should be kind of stymied, you know, and paralyzed. I think that's also a theme, and that's what I think the Rambam is referring to in the Tainus ones, 100%. I think that some of the Rishonim and Yevamos, and I think part of the difference between Avelus Yishana and Avelus Chadasha, Avelus Derabim and Avelus Diyached, relates to that question too. What about things that aren't necessarily Simcha, but they represent, you know, the capacity, let's say, to continue with regular creative human life as opposed to being, you know, temporarily paralyzed. Okay. Anyways, so just, yeah. I think that's where he is relating to this other point, the second point, and that's what I think he's relating to. All things being equal, there's another problem. It's not just the problem of Simcha, it's also the problem of is this an appropriate, Ein Lecha, planning for the future, and not being, stuck, until you can overcome, your Avel, Gedola Mizu. And that's what the Rambam is trying to explain. But there's no need for Shemi Kadbenu Acher because it's not a violation of Simcha. That's what I think is going on. The other Rishonim would disagree, and in particular, I just wanted to zero in on the language of the Ritva and the Taz just for a minute, and then I want to talk about Benoach. So, what does the Ritva say in? Anybody see it? David saw it. The Ritva in Bayit Katan. Number one, he just points out. Anybody who saw the Ritva in? I think I gave it. Yeah. You have it. Number one, he says he's not mechalik between ish v'isha, which is interesting, and the language there is important. Go ahead. Binyur gam ken deleik ala fluge baha. Go ahead.
I don't know how.
Well,
yeah. Binyur gam ken deleik ala fluge baha ben
isha. Avel l'isha.
Yeah.
So that's just interesting for us because it's afgav del mifkad of piri v'rivya. It's one of those like, okay, no pru or vu. Mufka, or just more of a technicality she can initiate, or these other things, right? So go ahead. That's just a good line. Yeah, so that's interesting, meaning the Vedavat v'ishto lo tova yosadam levado, that part of Ishus applies to her, even if she doesn't have peri-barivya. Maybe it's another way of saying, that it's a technical tour, or just that this is an independent, any. He said, "Lo garam in ish kishiyesh labanim." Right? There's still this other aspect. Okay, so that's just important. V'chein das mori, that's a quotation of the Ra'ah. Okay, but then he says, "Go ahead." Vayanira lechaora. Yeah. So erusin b'lis seuda is permitted in the shloshim, but what about bo bayom of the misa or within the shiva? Go ahead. Varambam. Huh? That's very important. Like, where did the Rambam get this from? And is it a coincidence that he dropped Shemi Kadmenu Acher and that he is more Makil than anybody? Right. Tisha B'Av Atzmo is Yerushalmi, even though it's not a Bavli. Bavli speaks about Shavu Shechalbo, in Yevamos. But the Yerushalmi does say Afilu B'Tisha B'Av Atzmo, but it says Shemi Kadmenu Acher. Yom Hamisa, according to the Ritva, is a Chiddush of the Rambam. Where did he get it from? The answer is, where did he get it from? He got it from his global understanding of Averson and so on. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh.
So what does that mean? Dayo sheyater achar zayin, demishum sheloi kadmenu acher, leison lakule b'hai avelus. The answer is, the Rambam doesn't quote. It's even worse than the Rambam, because he didn't quote Shemi kadmenu acher. The Ritva is saying, even if there was Shemi kadmenu acher, it can't overcome real avelus, right? The Havadai, go ahead.
The Havadai, I'm seeing something for
Yeshua. Correct. Which the Rama may argue, or may think is only B'toras what it's going to contribute in the own, but not intrinsically to it. Go ahead. Rulai Lamad.
I think that the Rambam thinks that all these material are coming from Shemei Kadimachar.
Right, which it's not. Which, we're being Madaic that it's not. Okay, Rulai Lamad Arav, Adavar Zeh. That's Yerushalmi. Yeah, well, that's an interesting question in its own right and a big theme for Tisha B'Av, but not for now. Okay, so I just wanted to illustrate it with that. That's number one. And the other one I wanted to illustrate with, before we move on, is the Taz. David, you saw the Taz? Just a similar do I have it? Yeah. The similar discussion, right, in Simen, with a Tuf Kuf Nun Aleph base, right? Do you happen to have it?
Yeah.
Good, excellent, thank you. Go ahead.
Says,
what does the Shulchan Aruch say?
That you're allowed to
show a kadon on that. A filibitisha bavatz, paskins like the Rambam, in this, even though it doesn't paskin like the Rambam in Avelis, right? But it passes like the Rambam of Filim Tisha Bav Atzmo, like the Rishalmi, but the Shulchan Aruch adds Shaloi Kadmeno Acher, right? And that, of course, the Rambam does not have. So there are two points in which the Rambam goes further, or the Shulchan Aruch did not go as far as the Rambam, to say it historically correct, right? Okay, good. So the interesting, first of all, just to note, so the Magen Avraham Alatar says, you know, this Hu Adin Shiduchim, since we were talking about Shiduchim before, so the Magen Avraham says that Shiduchim B'li Se'uda would also be permitted. You have that? I don't really, that's not the main point, so I don't think I maybe asked you to look at that. Mehai Tama Mutar Lashel Shiduchim, this is Sifkat and Yud, Umikomokam Nirli Da'asar Lasos Se'uda, Afilu below Rikudin Umechilos, right? Right, these all become ways of gauging simcha. So basically, he thinks that you could have shiduchim, right, on, I guess even on Tisha B'Av, you know, without a suit, or during 9 days, during the Shua Shechalbo, without a suuda, right, and even, but you know, right, but if you had a suuda, even without rikudin umacholos, sounds pretty. Sounds like, you know, when we sing for people, same thing. So sounds pretty happy. That would be okay. But again, it's based on Shema Yikadmenu Acher. Correct? So again, Shiduchim is an interesting, how much simcha is there in Shiduchim? Obviously, it's not a formal, whatever, but it, like we're saying, it, you know, is building your life for sure. It's an important decision going forward in that aspect of the problem. Moreover, it's something that's going to solidify, you know, the conditions and the respect and the stability eventually of the nesuin. So it's certainly not kiddushin. It's much less and less formal and doesn't have status of mitzvah the way shasish and so on. But it's an interesting discussion. But more important is the Taz. Okay, go ahead, David.
The Taz brings a source for this halacha. It's a gemara mashma de mashma de belav hay chashasha asul aref without shemay kadun acher.
So he's the one who zeroes in on what we've been talking about, which is, do you need a justification? It sounds in the Shulchan Aruch like if you didn't have this justification, it would be asur, right? Ubetur kasav, go ahead. So if it's leika simcha, im kasher, im kain. Right. So again, you might have given the answer what I said before, you know, to both of your questions, which is that in addition to simcha, there's another problem. And that is simply, you know, planning and moving forward, making decisions, you know, that propel your life forward is also an issue, you know, in Avelis. Okay, maybe Nietzsche may kadmenu acher for that. But Bepashtos, what the Taz is saying is, I don't get it. If there's no counter pressure of simcha, there shouldn't be the need. So, you know, what he should have said is, yeah, the Rambam never quotes it, right? Instead, he's saying, how come the people quoted it if they also think that there's no counter pressure? Go ahead. Nearly.
Nearly this fellow that told the Makosha Sur Mishuma Velut.
Lo Mahani Shemi Kadmenu. Like, is it a good enough reason if there is Simcha versus Tsar or whatever? Right? Viraya Me'evel. Tur Yaradeya, right? The Asa Afilu Be'erison. Yeah. Well, like the Rambam in Nechus Tainus, right? Elevadai de lo mahani tam shemi kadmenu acher. Ele inyan kolamoed, right? He says, oh, we're talking about lo have a tam mishum iser simcha, mishum irub simcha b'simcha, right? There, you want to say shemi kadmenu acher? Okay. Yeah. Umshumachi kasavatur heter erusin afilu b'makom avelus mishum de'ein kan simcha. That's why he said that the problem is because if there was simcha, then shemi kadmenu wouldn't work. Shemi kadmenu only overrides not an iser simcha but a competition of simcha. V'hainu simcha gedola leis kan lafuke min nisuin. But there is still some simcha. Kamoshav kasavatur avu nisuin below seuda. Ika some simcha, wrote some simcha gedola. Afagav da tur, hevi kan, go ahead, divir aran. Go ahead. I mean, Aval is a bigger problem because there's more avelus. And Tisha B'Av is a little bit less avelus, and there isn't simcha gedola, therefore, go ahead, mahani. Yeah, he's also saying like I mean, there's a difference. So again, I don't want to get it, the details. You know, are pursuable. What's clear is that there seems to be discussion how about simcha. There is an erusin. How much avel and tsar there is in avelos, different levels of avelos, of course, and Tisha B'Av and Shavuot Shechalbo. That's a factor. And you know when how effective is Shema Yikadmenu Acher? The Gemara the Bavli only ever quotes it in a Marvin Simcha V'Simcha type context. Yerushalmi's quoting it in Tisha B'Av, right? And the question is, you know, how effective is it? And basically, what I'm saying is that for the Rambam, the fact that he dropped it and didn't need it is surely even of additional. There's more to say about Erusin and Simcha, but that's good enough for the moment. Okay, now let's talk about Benoach. What's the story with Benoach? So we've been, you know, the Rambam starts off by saying Koda Matan Torah. So again, it's not just, we've tried to establish, it's not just history. It's a way of, characterizing, you know, what is singular about the Kedusha perspective on Ishus, the post-Matan Torah way. And of course, it's not just a question of history, but Bnei Noach, in the continuation of history too, become always a very important counterweight or contrast, to Kedushas Yisrael. So especially since we know that the Davak Beishto, and the Isra of Eishes Ish, these are categories that. Do apply to Bnei Noach. So understanding the differences between Ishus Bnei Noach and Ishus Yisrael becomes important. And of course the question is, the differences are for sure going to be quantitative. Are they also going to be qualitative? Okay. So just very briefly, this is discussed in the Yerushalmi. Jonathan, you saw it? Yerushalmi in Kiddushin. Saw it or not? Israel? Saw it? So firstly, just very quickly though, I want to get past this and I want to get into the next topic already, or then get it all connected. Yerushalmi, right in the beginning here, discusses, first we'll talk about the Kiddushin part. What does Yerushalmi say? Israel? Saw it or not?
Yeah.
What's the thrust of it? Right, Hare Lamadnu, how does it go like this? Hare Lamadnu, Sha'isha Niknes Begimel Drachim, Obekasaf Obishtar Obebia. So Rishami says, Ad Kedun Be Yisrael, which is all just like an interesting introduction, meaning we now said that there are three. Right, remember the Yerushalmi does here what the Bavli does on Tesom and Beis, which is, three independent, three interchangeable, or, combinations, which is another way of saying, both technically and maybe even conceptually, like the Yerushalmi is trying to figure out, like, what's the nature of Ishus that it has three methods and that, you know, sometimes they work separately, or do you need both? Is it Ishus oriented? Is it Mammon and Kinyan, or that whole business, right? So then what's fascinating is they repeat it again. Okay, guys, we just finished Harela Madnu, right? Everybody has a good memory, right? Harela Madnu Sheisha Niktes Begimel Drache, meaning Jewish Kedushin is Kesef Shtar Bia with everything we've just said. Ad Kedun Be Yisrael. You have it? Yeah. So that is a very interesting, right, contrast, right? Al ha beulos ein chayavin, ve'enan chayavin al ho'arusos. Meaning there's no erusin, basically, for Benoach. But it's interesting also how the Yerushalmi characterizes that by calling it I'll have a contrast between Arusos and Beulos. Right. There's another Girsa, if you look at the Nosa Kalim here, in some of the Midrashim, right, that have this parallel, instead of saying Al Beulos and Chayav Min Chayav and Al Arusos, it says what? Al ha Nisuin Chayavin, the Enan Chayavin Al Arusos. So the interchangeability, again, this of Beulos and Nesuos is very interesting. Again, especially since, you know, the Gemara thinks that maybe be a Nesuinosa. Totally, you know, we understand this. Yeah.
Would the Gersa change, the qualitative difference between the two? Beulos as opposed to Nesuos?
I think so, maybe. And especially, by the way, it's not... Yeah, the, you know... How do you accomplish Nesuos in general? So that brings you to the Yerushalmi at the beginning of Ksuvas, which is a little bit tricky. There it sounds like a little wild, actually. What is Nesuos? Is it some symbolic action? Is it one? Is it bios? From monos, it's bios. From psulos, you know, it's other things. So there might be differences, too. But either way, the impression is interesting. Then the Yerushalmi goes on to add another fascinating argument. Go ahead. Yeah, meaning there seems to be an argument here whether or not, yeah, kavana. Meaning, is it the physical relationship or intimacy creates Nisuin automatically? Right? Or does it have to be? Now, the view that says that you have to have kavanas ishus is very reasonable. The view that says that, you know, no, it's, you know, it's a physical relationship is an ishus in Bnei Noach. Right. No such idea, you know, in Klal Yisrael. That you could create ishus. Well, Yibum is, you know, is Bal Korcha, you know, but it doesn't mean that there's no kavana. So, yeah. All right. Anyways, the and also Yibum is a framework, which is something we'll get to when we discuss Bal Korcha in general, meaning there's a zika, and therefore, you know, so one party can impose will, but again, he has to have kavana. But, you know, Nisuin, we're talking about, look at the example. It's just shocking in a way, but understandable. It's like a radical view, but, you know, probably don't hold that way, la halacha, but Dom Rabbi Yona, go ahead.
Yeah.
And it was Balav b'chinas kavan arishon liknosa. Okay, but we get the idea. But so this is really quite fascinating, right? Either beulos or nesuos, maybe even balkarcha. I mean, the physical relation doesn't mean. I mean, if lemaisa, this is going to these people are going to have a physical relationship, then the halacha, the Bnei Noach halacha, that's like very machmir, you know, views them as married. Of course, you know, what are the consequences of that? What's that?
So the Gemara calls the ulas baal yeshlam. It describes the ishus that they have as ulas baal, as opposed to nichnas mechupa v'lo nivala.
Yeah.
Only the ulas baal that they call.
Right, right. That too also. Yeah. I'm just saying the idea that could be b'li kavana is interesting, but in a way, right, understandable. But okay, then what about Gerushin? Azriel, you have to skip a little bit, right? How does it go? So this is quite interesting. just also again the way that it's introduced. Here, where is it here? Yeah, here it is. Hare Lamadnu, again, one of those Hare Lamadnus, right? So Hare Lamadnu, you know, I may be making too much of it, but meaning we just, you know, it's like Chazara, right? So Hare Lamadnu, Goyim Elahem Kiddusha, Maushi Elahem Geirusha. Right? So why not just say, Mao, do they have Geirusha? So, but I think it's, again, you know, it's V'yatzav Haisa, the Parsha in Kitetze, this week's Parsha, right? Is, as we discussed, is, you know, Ki'ichach Ish Isha, you know, very connected to Gerushin. Our whole introduction was to suggest that the need for a get, you know, and the derech of Gerushin through a shtar l'shma and so on, and, you know, the laws of, you know, Machzi Grushaso and so on, right, that all of this is relevant to the nature of what Kinyanishus is. So, if the, assuming that's all true, and I believe it, so then when the Yerushalmi says Lamadnu Ein Lahem Kiddushin Ma'u She'ein Lahem Geirushin, it's like it just couldn't be any better, right? Meaning, if there really is this connection that how you view Geirushin is, you know, is a reflection of how you view Kiddushin, so if there's no Kiddushin, is there a Geirushin? Now, is the question, is there a Geirushin? Or is the question, you know, what is the nature of this Geirushin? Hard to know, right? So one possibility is that there's no Geirushin at all, right? In other words, when, like the Catholic Church, you know, if people are married, they're married and they're married forever. So notice I did not say like the Rabbanu Shlomo and Klal Yisrael, because I don't think that that's a good comparison. But meaning, okay, you could have a, imagine if you could have a connection between Kavana and then you have no exit strategy. That would be pretty draconian, which is why that some of the Nosei Kelim here just don't believe it, and they're also quoting partly from the Rambam. So what they're saying is not that there's no Gittin. What it means is that there is no requirement of a shtar get, but the dibor bialma might be sufficient. So there are two ways to read this line. One is there's no exit. How could there be no exit? The answer is because what we're protecting is not a davar shebikdusha, so the safety valve, you know, is not necessary. And therefore, you know, we want to keep society orderly, you know, in terms of understanding, you know, what the family units are, and also to limit, you know, promiscuity, you know, which can be a very undermining, eroding, corrosive factor, as we know. And therefore, it is a little draconian, but this is what it is. I mean, again, if you have the combination of bli kavana and no get, it's pretty harsh, frankly. But that's how you would have to explain it. It's pretty clear that we paskin, I think, that you need kavana. And most of the mafarshim here think that when the Rishonim is suggesting that there's no get, they don't mean that. What they meant is that there's no shtar get, no need for a shtar get. But either way, what's the other possibility? Go ahead. What are the two days in the Gemara? Rab Yudah ben Pazi. Yeah. So if you take the view Ein Lam Gershin, like, you know, Catholic Church, so it's two opposite. But understand, two radical view, two radical perspectives here. One is Ein Lam Geirushin, you know, better if it's only Ishus B'Kavana, but okay. You know, Catholicism. O Sheshneim Megarshin Zezeh, or we're much more liberal even, meaning it's, you know, either the husband or the wife could walk away, unlike the Ishus and Yisrael, which is, you know, Torah at least, dependent upon him. If you take the view that, you know, the word Ein Lam Geirushin means no shtar, no need for a shtar. So then the question is, no need for a shtar, or even, or also, you know, that it can be initiated by either one. Right. Okay. So this is, these are the views in Yerushalmi. But again, it has a Rambam Paskin. Has a Rambam Paskin, Israel? Inukos Malachim? Anybody? Did I give you that? I didn't give you that? Yeah.
The second one,
that
either one can initiate?
That either one can initiate and that you don't need a get.
Yeah.
You have like, what is it, tes ches? Is it tes ches? Go ahead.
In the Noah Hayat Ali Shapiro, I shall go to Daka, a Hashiva Lala, about no Rasal, Shinsel Kupa, Lanivala, and Kaidin Lala, Shemad Nibuan Bao.
Yeah, you need Bulas Bao, that's the first part of the Shalmi. Go ahead.
And that's very long, Rim, Ben Noah, Shabal Batna, or Akum, about Ari Sri, they can record the Shokanak of Hayav. You might have Naran or Sun, Skala, Lala, Kadini, Shah, Bala, Hashim, Shinsel Kupa, Lanivala.
Right, that's if they. Right. That's a Nachri and Israelis. Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so the way that the Rambam has it is that neither, basically in other words, a Nisuin is created through Bulas Baal, and that Gerushin doesn't require a Ksav, right? And can be initiated by either party. In other words, any party can terminate this relationship. According to the Rambam, the contrast between Yisrael and Benoach, right, in both Erusin and Nisuin is very sharp. So when the Rambam says about Gittin, for example, that it's that the mitzvah is, how does the Rambam formulate in the Koteret, Nuchas Gerushin? And it's in for mitzvahs also, but
Mitzvah
she garish ha-megaresh, meaning the husband,
be-sefer.
So that what the Rambam is really saying is the methodology, right? These pratim that which make it much more difficult. Again, there's a view in the Rishami that it's much more difficult for Benoach than for Yisrael, but maybe for the same reasons. Okay, but for the halacha, according to the Rambam, the ease of Gerushin, meaning just, the termination. Well, okay, either party can walk away, without a, formal get, and certainly not a personalized get lishma, etc., right? The methodology of Gerushe Yisrael is the mitzvah. That's what reflects Kedushas Yisrael. Okay. So that, all of that, is just a very good introduction to the next. We're going to stop in one more minute, but let's just start. And that is Kadesha and Pilagesh. So we've already talked about the Asar Lanu Esar Rusos and the Shiti Shana, Abedram, Raivid there, and the Rambam Asar Medivrei Sofrim in Perik Yud, and the Rambam Shita and Hilkosota of Menuka Mikol Avon. Again, we're not sure whether Pani Abala Pnuyas Daraisa Asur or not. But if it is Asur, so it might be Asur because of a Davak B'ishta V'lo Barusaso, or it might simply be the Isur Asay of Ki Yikach Ish Isha, especially if you think, like the Rambam, that, what this means is that Kiddushin, as the Tchilas, or as the Tnai Kadum of Nisuin, is a prerequisite for Ishus and even for Heter Maisa Bia. So if you take all of that package, so the likelihood of, Asur Lanu Asar Rusos being more serious, or anything outside of Ishus being a problem or prohibited, increases, exponentially. If you think that Asur Lanu Asar Rusos is only Drabanan, and if you think that Kiddushin, Kodim Nisuin, right, has very little to do with limiting or making exclusive the framework of Ishus, so then the categories of Pilegesh and Kadesha, right, are likely right, to be perceived very differently. And indeed, the burden of evidence is try to figure out, like, you know, Pilegesh sounds like it's an acknowledged halachic institution. And it's mentioned in the Torah a few times, and you know, we know it as an institution certainly that applied to a melech. And Kadesha, we just have to understand what is the scope of the prohibition. Of course, there could be something in between these two radically diverse perspectives, namely the perspective that anything outside of Ishus is inherently problematic. Ishus is a sine qua non to a physical relationship, and the opposite view, which is that, you know, Ishus is a kiyum, of course, but, you know, it's not about heter bia per se, and that is that there might be you know, situations which undermine kedushas Ishus, and particularly are kind of a slap in the face to the notion of a higher level or an ideal of Ishus, an ideal of marriage, and other situations which are viewed as more neutral. So we could, in theory, have three views. What I want to do is look at Kadesha and Pilegesh and some of the, obviously it's part of the topic. We'll start with Shitas HaRambam. Again, we're only going to give it 2 more minutes today, but this is what we'll pursue on Sunday. Shitas HaRambam, the way people understood the Rambam, and, you know, what the patterns in the Rambam actually are. So let's start. Azriel, you were talking, so I'll let you. Let's just start, just get it on the record. Let's just start with Hilchos Ishus. So where does the Rambam speak about this?
Aleph Daled.
So what's so fascinating about Aleph Daled is, I think I mentioned it already. What? The parallel to Aleph Aleph, right? Meaning Aleph Aleph is Kodamatan Toryadam Pangesha Bishukim Ratzahu Vihi Lisa Machnisa Lebeso Boala, right? And then it is meant to contrast the Chiddush of Matan Torah, which is Kiddusha and Lifnei HaNesuin. And in Halacha Daled, the Rambam starts with the Rambam was a master, as we know, organizer, formulator. You know, he had a literary, you know, flourish as well. So, of course, this is not a coincidence. It's not like the Rambam couldn't find other words. He is using exactly the same format. You know, you start reading it, and you think, oh, my goodness, the printer made a mistake here, right? Kodematan toriyadam pegeishu bishuk imratzahu vihi, right? But then comes nosel l'scharo bolosal emaderech v'holechlo. V'zuhi hanikres kadesha. Misha nitna Torah, which of course is the exact language that the Rambam again uses in, you know, Aleph and Beis, right? But here it's Nesra HaKdesha. Nesra HaKdesha is the parallel to, you know, Likuchin Eile Mitzvah Saseh, Likuchin B'Ede Kiyum, you know, on its level, and Misha nitna Torah, Nesra HaKdesha, Shenemar Lotia HaKdesha, Mibnos Yisrael. Then comes the word Lefikach, which, Yonatan, is? It's a drum roll, exactly. So, like, do you need the Rambam to say the word lefikach here? Right? I mean, he just said, you know, that this is asur. He said it's asur, so you need him to say, therefore, kol abol isha l'shem znus b'lo kiddushin lokem in haTorah. Mipnesha baal kadesha. This is kadesha, and therefore, if you're baal kadesha, you are violating the malchus of being boel kadesha. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's not... There's no kasha here, right? It's not contradictory, but it just seems superfluous and overstated, which, in my opinion, means that the Rambam knows that what he's saying here is not obvious. It's not the only way that people could have interpreted the institution of Kadesha, and it's being emphasized intentionally, right, to tell you, drum roll, that you know, there's something going on. Lefikach kol abol isha l'shem znus b'lo kiddushin lo kan haTorah b'nei b'al kadesha. It's repetitive for the sake of emphasis and to acknowledge that this is fitting in to a bigger picture, although you could have argued. Now, of course, the other point to emphasize here is that the Rambam's phraseology, you know, is like opens him up, Noah, to what? Noah? Noach, I should say. We Noah or Noach?
Noah.
I'm, Yeah, why did I say that? That's, yeah. Hillel, sorry. Hillel, yeah. What does the Rambam do here? What does this terminology open him up to? Okay, but there's a phrase here, which is, if you are trying to write, like unequivocally, to be understood unequivocally is a disaster. Okay, and the proof is that it was interpreted, right, by Mefarshim, right, in two totally opposite ways. Which phrase? Again? Keep going. The words Boel Ish L'shem Znus below Kiddushin is a disaster, right? Or it's perfect, right? What do you think, Hillel? Disaster or perfect? Ah, exactly. In other words, there are two ways to read these words, right? One is L'shem Znus. I mean, when you first read the words, call it Boel Isha L'shem Znus. If you stop there, what would you say? That Kadesha requires L'shem Znus. Yeah, and then you have to figure out, like, what is the line for that? But this is a promiscuity, we'll call it. Right? L'shem Znus. Why did the Rambam add that? Then the next words, below Kiddushin, what, there's a, you know, there's a Znus in Kiddushin. I mean, it's not impossible. I mean, the Rambam does say, right, that, you know, kalapoches lebesula mimasayim, you know, that's bi'ilas nus, that's within a marriage. And amakadesh, you know, below shiduchin or bashuk, you know, that's hergel znus. So the idea that there is znus or znus types, you know, again, grusha belev, you know, something like that. So can there be a phraseology of a description, in other words, of znus, you know, inside of kiddushin, which is a bad thing? It's migunet, it's mechuar, you know, what is it, miruchak? You know, according to the, you know, different translations, and but it isn't subject to malchus. You don't get, you know, malchus doraisa for mekadesh b'shuk or below shiduchim or you know, believe yahavta l'reacha, you know, or being, you know, poches l'besula mimasayim, right? So one way to read the Rambam is kol abol isha l'shem znus, kadesha requires promiscuity, right? L'shem znus below kiddushin. But of course, if you act in a promiscuous way, right? But you are married, so that might be makas mardus, rab mangid, but that's not malchus doraisa. That's one way to read it, right? But of course, the other way to read it, which is the way that I prefer, is the way that you just suggested, Hillel, which is the Rambam doesn't mean that you need l'shem znus. And then we try to figure out whether it's in or outside the framework of the Yishus. He's telling us something very profound and provocative, right? And that is that kol abol isha l'shem znus, i.e., right? You want to put a comma here or a dash, right? Below kiddushin, in other words, below kiddushin, lo kemina Torah mipnei shabal kadesha. Wow, that's a big statement. That anything where lemaisa, it's out of the framework of, is called znus? Well, according to the Rambam l'shitaso, not bad, right? So the Nosa Kalim really debate this point. Some of the Nosa Kalim said, no, the Rambam didn't mean that. For example, never known Nosa Kalim, the Ramban in his tshuva, you know, number one, denied that the Rambam thinks that Pilegesh is limited to a melech, which we'll get to in just a second. And number two said, oh, the Rambam doesn't think that you violate Kadesha, you know, every time there's no Ishus. It has to be L'shem Znus. And numerous of the Nosa Kalim said this. Others say, no. Like we're reading it. Like Hillel prefers to read it, right? Which is that L'shem Znus, i.e., right, Shalo B'Kiddush. Yeah. Who had a question here? Oh, yeah.
Doesn't this work much better with L'Fichach?
I think. I mean, the Hillel way.
Yeah, because
the
other way
it's
just that's the original case
that
the Rambam brought up.
I'm trying to be mechaper for calling you the wrong name. No, it takes me a little while, but It's because Noach is here, so, right? Noach's brother's here, so. Since Shmuel came in, so I was thinking, you know, and then I saw Noah, you know, on the line, so, okay. But the Lefik, what I want to say about the Lefikach,
yeah,
what?
And we were talking about B'nai Noach.
And we were talking about B'nai Noach. Thank you, I appreciate that. So basically what I want to say is, Lefikach is not necessary because he just described what he described, right? And the Torah says Kadesha, and it's a lav sheish b'maisa, and it's not nitan l'tashlumin or nitan klase or anything else. So, you know, do we really need Lefikach? The answer is, if I'm telling you that, you know, outside of Ishus makes it l'shem znus and your lokeh, right? So both the Hagdara itself and the expansion of the cases, right, is something deserving of a drumbeat. Yeah.
Why, sorry, I don't understand why if you just put the location, you should have left out the way the
I think because he's trying to explain it, what he's saying is the Torah considers anything up. Because you still might have said, okay, so there's a din of Kadesha, which means, of course, the terminology Kadesha, the closest to the word Kiddushin and Kedusha. The Ramban says that Kadesha, it means the antithesis of Kedusha. Others think, no, it means Mizumenes, right? For the Rambam, it probably means, in this case, what the Ramban says it means, but also is the antithesis of Kiddushin, right? The Ramban didn't want to say that because he doesn't agree with the Rambam's interpretation. But I think the point is that the Rambam's trying to say something. One could have said, to answer Avram Zahara, one could have said, well, there's an Isra say of my Sabia chutz mikidushin. Right? But is that because Alpidin we consider it to be Znus? I think the Rambam is saying something bigger here, and he's trying also to explain the language of the Torah. He's saying, yes, because this is such a Dover Shebikdusha, or needs the framework of Dover Shebikdusha, that absent it, you know, we perceive it as nus.
That wouldn't have been clear just that we should follow the Kadesha.
Right. It doesn't have to be znus. Right? Znus is a big word. Right? And we'll see how the Rambam and the Ramban and others interpret the word znus. Okay. But again, if the Rambam, now when the Rambam says what we talked about earlier today, Paragimel, I have to stop in a second because I've got a Paragimel halacha chabes, you know, v'davar zeh hergel liznus v'yedam melekdesha shayisa kodem matan Torah. Wow. And then, of course, remember that when the Rambam speaks about kedesha and sefer mitzvos, right, he talks about it as lacking ksuva, right, which according to the Rambam always accompanies ksuva v'kiddushin, right, and also in the Koteret here, as we know, right, shelo tival isha below ksuva v'kiddushin, that's Kadesha, right? And also in Sefer Mitzvahs. So the pattern seems to be strong. What does the Ravid say? With this, we'll stop for the moment. Right. No, it's not true. Kadesha means promiscuity. Mufkeres l'chol adam. Right. Without discrimination. Aval. If they have a long-term, I don't know whether it's a monogamous or exclusive relationship, let's assume that it's an exclusive relationship, or at least it's a long-term relationship, right? That is not kiddushin and nesuin, it's not a mitzvah, but it's not kadesha. Yeah, he doesn't say it's good, right? He thinks that's a pilegesh. Okay. Assuming that Pilegesh applies to Hidyotos, right? We know the secret already, but we'll discuss it next week when we go in more into this. Namely, it sounds like the Ramah Nuchas Malachim, that what? Azriel? Daladalad. That the only Pilegesh that is permissible is? Miuchad to who? For the Ramah I'm talking about. To a king, yeah. The Ravid is assuming that a Pilegesh is something that applies to a Hidyot and can neutralize the problem of Kadesha. Well, it also goes to the next...
Rivash says that explicitly.
Yeah, that's the Rivash that I wanted to look. Well, we'll talk about it. Ubali Aloshon, go ahead. Dorshin. It's a complex word, right?
Yeah.
Prakim l'mishkal, mishameshes es abayis, pam l'mishkav. We'll talk about that. Is there kedushin in the case of Pilegesh or not? What is the Rambam's view? Rambam says below kedushin to below ksuva, right? In Hilchos Melachim, we'll talk about it. Mikomakom, which was where they make the diuk. Maybe Pilegesh isn't good, but it's not the lav of Kadesha, unless it's mizumenes l'chol adam, meaning promiscuity, where there's no relationship connection at all. Shim kedvarav. This is a serious question. If there's a din of pitui, and it isn't kadesha v'haraya that there is money, then obviously outside of marriage, right, not everything is kadesha. But that's something very serious that the Rambam needs to address. Right, it is a bit of a flaw in his view, although I think he addresses it. Although whether he addresses it in such a compelling way, it ends up being an exception of some sort. Okay, so we're going to pick up on this, the different views of what is kadesha and pilegesh. And especially, we'll start with, again, examining the totality of Shitas HaRambam, but then the other Rishonim, we'll try to do it quickly so we can start moving.